on Wednesday, March 13, 2019. We're gathered in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for goal setting debriefing. All three commissioners are present, and we have legal staff attending for us, Pat and Wally, and JJ is available. All right, so we got some feedback from goal setting and kind of just an opportunity. So some of the, I would point us out to the map that John presented, because it kind of highlights three of the main things that they saw as strategies coming out of it as far as communication, different customer service, and kind of where we're at in our office and stuff like that, and leadership things. So, but I open up to you guys if there's a place you'd like to start.
Right. I was thinking the single page next steps was kind of a good place to
find out.
I don't know. It must have fallen out of yours, but it was separate. I've got that, what you've got. But this is the more meat and potatoes. This is just all the rough information. And so...
Yeah, the one with orange is simply them kind of adding the annotation to the agenda we had.
Right.
The
second sheet. Dan doesn't have it with him. But I like this sheet as a kind of a list of things we could talk about.
All right, I'm going to pull it up on the computer since I gave my copy away just so.
Yep. And one thing that's not on there.
What is it?
Right, because if you look at this under Drive right. Effective Communication, right. Number one, it's update policies and procedures on social media access and usage. And then proactive messaging. Create a county newsletter. See, like, create a county newsletter, we could all go, well, should we do that or should we not? There's a couple easy ones I think we could do first because we have some bigger ones to talk about, but wouldn't mind getting some momentum.
So you want to go down through the Drive Effective Communication right off the bat, or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and see if there's any low-hanging fruit stuff we can go, yeah, let's do that.
How does the city newsletter work out for the city of Grants Pass? I don't read it. I get it in my bill.
Yep.
Every once in a while I read it just to see kind of what's going on, but I
get it every Friday in email format, and it's also
well, that's why
Facebook.
I'm not going to get it, but I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Does it work?
Well, I get it, and I read it. My wife and I both do, because I think it has cool stuff in it, but... I think it's a great place to get into people's living room with a newsletter. We've been talking about it for a year.
They do two things. They do.
Who take care? PIO take care of this.
Well, and I think if we want to do it, let's talk about the structure. So let me pull one up just to kind of, if you want to use that one as a guideline and.
Well, because their letters come out once a month, their newsletters.
They do an every Friday update.
An internal one? Or
they do.
Website one?
So, I believe, I could be wrong, it may be every once a month, but...
well, that's when
I've seen one on the internet, on my email, weekly... Weekly manager's report.
Oh, that's different.
No, it's Aaron's weekly report, and that's kind of what I had in mind. The monthly one they do, or the quarterly one that goes out in the bills, but the weekly one gives them a chance to get, and they have standard stuff in it. So it's usually something that's going right now. They give an update with parks and community development. They give an update of public works, including water division, wastewater division, distribution, and streets. Then they talk about any construction projects that people might see around town and where they at on those. Mm-hmm. And then they do public safety calls for the week. They highlight their nuisance enforcement team detail. So how many 911 calls in the week, how many fire rescue calls, how many arrests, warnings, traffic tickets. And then they highlight committees. And it's a four-page, so two-sided pages with photos that they do, and it's always the same format as far as the department updates. Something that's happening right now will be on the front page, and then they go into those other same departments every time.
Do we have enough material to do that? I guess that's up to us.
Or even if it was twice a month.
You know, how many gallons of water they made, and how much sewage they put into the river stuff. We don't have any of that. Sometimes I don't know whether, you know, police calls and calls for service and stuff, because we don't have a fire department. I'm just wondering.
But we do have a sheriff's office.
We have a sheriff's office. Right. I get that. But, I mean, I'm just asking.
Yeah. Right.
And a parks
department.
So
what content would you want in?
That's what I mean. I'm asking what content we should put in.
Yeah. Road closures, road work. In the summer, I'd want to maybe weekly highlight public works and any projects that they're doing. As far as this week, we're repaving this one, or we're whatever they're chip sealing, you know, or this week the construction over here, it might be nice to do that. But otherwise, you could take a department each week and highlight something that's going on or event, unless you wanted to do it.
I think Dan's right. We might have a little less information, but that doesn't mean we wouldn't want to do it.
A two-pager.
Right. And you could do announcements of what the board's discussing next week, whatever, if there's some topic coming up.
So board announcements.
Yeah. And so that you were... But this would be an electronic one. That's what the city's is.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. That one would be an electronic one. And I think I think we should try it myself.
Is there any way to track it to see how many people actually hit on it?
On Facebook. There's, depending on the email, some email programs you can see who actually received it, who opened it, who just deleted it, but I don't know that we have that program in ours or not.
But it's also a way to get in front of the newspaper, too, and have our own information going out instead of always just answering.
Our message.
Right, our message. Because he takes the weekly report, and they just read it on KJO. And we might get the same courtesy. But that gets we're being proactive in sending out our message and not just reacting to whatever newspaper article we all read yesterday.
Good point.
There's weekly events at fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Parks may have special events or highlighting different projects.
I suggest routine meetings would also be, this would be an excellent option
to broadcast.
Satisfy our public notice, It satisfies our public notice requirements.
Good idea.
Put the agendas out. And, you know, you'd have our PIO actually reminding people, gently I assume, that they do, the department heads, that they do need to get their agendas out in advance of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That would be widely appreciated, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and our volunteers would really like that, too. I mean, in terms of the leadership, you know, our volunteers that are working on our various committees, of which there are many, you know, would have a single source to know what they're going to be talking about.
Yeah, you can see there's a Parks Board meeting next week at 3 o'clock.
With the following items on the agenda, and that just becomes the routine that our
search and rescue corner.
And we could email.
Just that constituency would be quite satisfying.
The public information officer all week long.
Yes.
And he could be accumulating so that on Friday at
I think we agree with him on the newsletter.
Huh? Yep.
The logistics of which we'll discuss later.
Sounds good.
Well, sounds like a newsletter.
Do you want us to
future.
Ask Jason to come up with a format and that he could present to us to see if we're on board for?
Yeah. And so that's more weekly updates. Do you think there's value in a paper newsletter? We don't have a billing system to put it in, so I don't think so either. So it kind of takes the place of, right? And could be called a newsletter. All right, anything else under that first one bullet point?
Hold on, I got to look it up.
It's
important probably that everyone, the managers, understand that this is something the board really wants to emphasize. And so to the extent that Jason's going to be hounding them at first about getting, you know...
Yeah, getting their reports in.
Getting their reports in. And it's not like we're asking for something that's not already a requirement. I mean, we're supposed to be publishing our agendas out well in advance of the meeting, 24 hours at least, but... This is just a new routine for people to adjust to at first. Anyway, so it sounds like that is the board's desire. Okay.
And so, we'll have to assign some duties before we leave. Who wants to follow up
I can keep notes on
making this one happen.
Well, I'm actually emailing Jason at this very moment.
Jason!
You trying to beat the street?
Well, it's just, well, it's only mine, get it done.
Yeah, I know. I'm just gaming with you. But it seems like we do radio interviews. I would like to invite some department heads to that. I don't know what that looks like.
I put a deal up there on the board for KJO Radio in April. I'd like to take vets and the fair to that one. Mm-hmm. Because the vets and the fair, first off, the fair is going to be all about vets this year. Give them an opportunity to take on the Brews, what is it, Brews, Bacon Brews and Bronx or something.
Bronx, that's it.
Is in April. And also...
When is it in April?
Huh?
I forget. I think it's
the 15th, I think.
So it'll be over.
It will? I thought we were like the first weekend in April.
We're the last Tuesday of the month on KJO.
Last Tuesday of the month.
So the last Tuesday of March. Right?
Never mind. Scratch it off.
That would be March, if you want to do that.
Scratch it off.
No, wait. No, she's saying the end of March you could do it, Dan.
End of March, then.
We aren't there yet.
What's that?
April 20th.
April 20th is the Beef Brews and Bronx.
And March 26th is the next radio opportunity.
Yeah, and we're on KJO on March 26th, so you could do it that day.
Okay, we'll do it March 26th then.
Sounds good.
It would be nice to come up with, I can email department heads and say, are there any months that something should be notified? If we're going to bring you on with your liaison, what month should you be highlighted in what? Because to me, fair should also be going in July. Right before August fair season.
Maybe we can get a schedule going.
Coming up, but there should also be a time when the commissioners are all coming back to...
Yeah. We'd fill in when there wasn't one that was obvious, maybe. Or go quarterly. Or
something like that. Like so, that, yeah. As far as a schedule goes, what do you think of me sending out an email asking department heads to give a feedback of when they would like to go?
Yep. I do like it. And I like that I don't have to do it. Just saying. anything else under that first number one? That kind of hit the ones that I wanted to talk about.
John is coming up with some updated policies. They'll bring that back to us. We probably should, in working with him, get some information out about department Facebook pages, but essentially a messaging... or reiterating that we want to make sure that all Facebook pages in the county, that their login, email, and password are given to Jason, the PIO.
Oh, right.
And that there's a backup, that no individual employee has only sole ownership of any of those pages.
Sounds reasonable.
And at some point, there should be a policy on what's posted and how long is it retained and all that. And I think John's working on that.
Okay. Anything else from you on number one?
Nope. You get into Facebook and social media platforms, that's your wheelhouse. I don't get on Facebook, and I don't get on social media platforms. And I will be misquoted in the paper all the time. I can't get away from that.
That's because you're not sharing your post on Facebook.
Because I'm not sharing a post on Facebook.
I found myself on Facebook till 10:30 last night answering questions about the ordinance tonight. And getting Cape Junction off the ledge. Though, you know, the best thing that ever happened to me on Facebook is I blocked... a perpetual Illinois Valley resident who...
A booker.
That cut your traffic down, I'll bet you, 40%.
Well, apparently he's posting all over this chat that I'm a part of, but I didn't see any of it. And other people finally said his stuff was horrible, but I didn't have to see any of it. I just put straight information out, trying to clear the air. No, that's not what this is saying. No, that's not what this is saying. This is what this is saying. Here's the language of it. So...
Well, he's got 40 people signed up for a recall for me, so he's looking pretty good.
So
thanks for taking the limelight, you two.
That's right. Just you're next.
Thanks.
Do we want to go on to number two?
Yeah.
Number two.
Yep. Create a department head message board. send summary of BCC meetings to department heads.
Well, and that one will have to correlate with who exactly is sending it. I tried last week. We had some decisions about some positions, and I sent a message out to department heads, giving them a heads up. Here's what we decided in our meeting. You guys should get those as well because you're on that email stream. I haven't done it yet this week, but just trying to remember to something that would impact more than one department, letting them know those decisions or any of those. And I got feedback that they appreciated that update.
Well, and this one under two is a little sticky because that gets into the structure of the commissioner's office.
Correct.
And so.
And John's working on creating a department head message board. So John McCafferty's working on that.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't talked structure yet, I sent a summary after one of our meetings, is what right. The B was.
And I think that's okay.
And I think C will be impacted by us talking about liaison roles, which we should delve into at some point as well.
Which is, the meat of this that'll come, I think, later. Let's look at, 3 B, create customer service training. Where are we at on skills training for all of our departments, employees, new hires?
It's kind of up to each one. Now, HR does have a program that CIS has that there's some online trainings that each employee is kind of registered and they can sign up with an online or individual training. But it's kind of on the individual employees to ask their department head or their structure for permission. What I think would be beneficial for us as a commission is to give permission to the department heads to focus on professional development and training.
And certainly do an evaluation of when's the last time and who hasn't been trained and see where we're at and then talk about what future training they're missing and needing.
We talked about with HR creating an onboarding schedule.
Right.
That so when somebody's hired, not that they just have their first day orientation that goes over policies or whatever else, but we actually have a schedule that within so many weeks they'll have this training, within so many weeks they'll have this training, and kind of philosophy of county culture and have some ongoing stuff as a potential. Mm-hmm. But we don't have, we're kind of created our own onboarding. I was going to follow up with you about there's some softwares and some programs out there that help with different onboarding things. And because the other thing we talked about is a separate onboarding, which is basically just your culture around hiring is what onboarding is, for line staff supervisors. Because what training are they given for supervision and evaluation and some of that kind of stuff? And then our department heads, let alone what is the process of bringing them on, or is it just, here's your key to your office, here's your purchase card, welcome to the county, go.
Yep.
Which is kind of what happens right now, kind of.
I have a comprehensive plan to address that.
Okay. So good. We'll wait for HR to bring it back.
That takes care of a lot of these in three with the, like you said, implement new employee orientation. And just giving them the skills to deal with somebody coming off the street is what I want, too.
Yeah.
You know, where they can run it up the chain, find the person, whatever it takes, and not say, oh, I don't know.
Community Corrections actually has a program they implemented this year with, it went through you, Dan. I don't know if it went through all of us, but that they, if somebody's working towards a degree, that they do some education reimbursement at some level. But they had the budget to do that. I don't know that every, and it's not a countywide policy. But I have had other employees say, if we don't offer training or if we don't offer educational opportunities once we're hired, you're kind of stagnant. So then some people might do it on their own, but then they look for other jobs because there's no movement potential. Right. So we don't necessarily cultivate a culture of professional development or raising up. If somebody goes out sick, who's that person to fill in those shoes? Is there any kind of succession planning?
Right. Good stuff, and it sounds like somebody's already working on some of that.
But if the board doesn't promote that concept of professional development or training, I don't think departments are necessarily inclined to pursue it thoroughly. Some of them do for education standards. Like you guys have licensing as attorneys you have to keep.
Yes.
Different community corrections has that. Public health has that. They have different CEs or continuing education or whatever the alphabet variation
appropriate,
is.
Yeah.
Public works has to meet different standards for different certifications. So they might have those things. But I remember we were having trouble with some people coming into the courthouse in the basement that were causing problems. They were destroying bathrooms. They were messing with staff. And we had seen a training come across that was something about personal safety for office support or something like that. And I sent that out to all staff saying, hey, if anyone thinks they'd like to do this training of personal awareness or personal safety as a office support, well, I had another elected official say, do not send things to my staff. You're wasting their time for them to have to open that email. And so it's like, okay, well, how does the board promote training that's generic when it was that elected official's staff that was one of the ones impacted by the people that were causing a disruption in the basement? And so it's kind of one of those things that it's like, okay, this is not a professional standard to their own certification. It's a general training, and those aren't encouraged either.
Right.
Is that but safe to say? Some departments, yeah.
Well, and organization-wide certainly has its perils because it either may not apply or may have a buck from one of the department heads, like you said, especially an elected one. But certainly the individual managers ought to feel the board saying, hey, we want to make sure that your office is professional and trained, and try and put pressure on them that way for their individual skills training to be better customer service agents.
So we're going into budget season right now. What, I mean, do we as liaisons talk to our departments and say, all right, where's your professional development? Where's your education of your support staff and your assistants, your legal secretaries, your not just your attorneys, you know, or your
notaries,
planners, or your, yeah, what needs updated? Is that being addressed? Do we, I mean, we can ask it in budget season, because if we're asking it, they might focus on it.
Yep, and I think that's a good point for it, because it's happening now, too. A good touch point to at least start assessing where we're at, and then JJ might be able to look at the whole organization and organize some of that information. But I think that also keeps people here. When you keep them trained and they're better, they look for a chance to move up.
I think training needs to be pointed at avoiding possible issues coming up. That's exactly what it's about. They're not trained on what they're supposed to say when somebody steps up and they're mad or whatever. It'll backfire on you.
Yeah.
But you got to be real careful with training that you don't pile so much training out there that gives the employee the impression that he must not know anything.
Right.
I've worked here for 17 years doing my job, and now you're telling me I need more training because I may not be doing something right. And I'll have a little pushback on that. And that might be where your department heads are saying, you know what, butt out. It's my department. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe one of the pushback.
Well, and no training just for the sake of training. We got to spend our training budget, so
exactly.
let's do something.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Yeah. I think JJ could probably come up with a comprehensive plan to say, and maybe do you have dollars and cents that could come up with something like that?
Some stuff.
I mean, if we did it.
A lot of stuff that costs only time.
It seemed to me that at one point in time we talked about that there's training available that maybe you might have the city get on board with for, you know, everybody, and you get 100 people in the room instead of just.
Is there any
public safety or whatever?
Is there any trainings that we can do, like all county staff, like
a
service day? Everybody's at the fairgrounds, and you know, one
right.
day in the pavilion.
It's a blanket thing. It's countywide. It's organization wide. Not just picking out one mm-hmm. group and saying, "Yeah, you're the non-union, whatever they are," and you know, you're the this and what. It's just
stackers.
You know, more general rather than company-wide, rather than trying to pick out one or the other. And then let the department say, well, I need something on this and this and that and the other thing. But I think we just have to be really careful doing that.
Well, I think that's wise.
Training's never bad. Can be, but if you get the right trainer.
Get the right group in there with the wrong trainer.
Get the right group in there. And
it could go sideways.
And you have input. And
I've been to electrical training like that where I didn't learn a thing all day.
Yeah.
Shocking.
So, yes.
Just shocking. Uh-huh.
No,
that's too easy. Too easy. Well, let's see what's on the back of here then. Improve public-facing information, updating the website, kiosk.
John was going to follow up with the kiosk.
Yeah. And maybe the services map.
Correct. They were
looking that's part of
up
it.
With the... I'm going to print this because it's not...
Not being friendly?
Well, it's not... I mean, I can't write notes of corresponding to where you're going.
Right, right. Yeah, but it sounded like it's an obvious good fit for him to be the guy. Because he does.
Do you guys support that idea with the kiosk out here? Kind of a touch screen?
Yeah.
I do. Because then we could all use it. And
so when you're lost.
Yeah, so that exactly. If somebody asked me where the surveyor's office or something is like, well, I was there a month ago. Let me think.
Yeah.
It's downstairs.
You could even have it as so-and-so in. I'm here to see Darren Fowler. It says Darren Fowler will be out until 1:30.
Yeah. You can find out.
So they're not poking around?
I think their level of it is going to say that way to his office.
Okay, 2:30.
Right. And let them make the human decision at the window.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, because you could take a new employee to that and go, hey, guess what we got? Why don't you sit here and play with this for a few minutes and learn our structure a little bit so that you could show somebody how to use this. If you got caught in the hallway and saw some person with a confused look on their face.
The internship and volunteer program, I think we have a really huge opportunity here as the county to get people excited, young people excited about what we do. Public Works is one. Parks is another one. I mean, there's all kinds
Absolutely.
Of stuff. There's kids that don't want to sit at a computer all day, and you put them out there clearing brush and mowing yards and raking leaves for the park system, and they love it.
They would love it.
The one question I have is, all right, so one, we have the Youth Pathways Project, and so where are interns able to go that are at the high school level versus, like, community corrections, you can't be under 18 to volunteer over there, but they have practicum students from RCC or SOU that do stuff.
I'm talking like facilities here where you're learning a trade, not community corrections where you're learning.
They do that there too, an internship. They do a practicum where somebody who wants to be a treatment person has to get practicum time, and they do that there. Or college students that are in certain fields that have to do a practicum, they do that. But high school ones, the concern, I learned that Parks has a software for volunteers that they can sign up online, they can sign up for hours online, but it's only Parks.
Yep.
We don't have a countywide volunteer sign-up opportunity or process, and that might be something we look at. Now, HR is officially the volunteer coordinator, right? So, because as far as any backgrounds or, like, for the young man that was in here, we had to have him sign a confidentiality thing. But I'm curious if we should implement a volunteer software countywide versus just at Parks. It tracks hours. It tracks types of work.
Well, one of the things that, you know, in fairgrounds, anytime they get anybody out there pulling weeds, they have to fill out a volunteer form, right?
Yep.
Because if you're on the grounds and you're doing something, in case you fall down or hurt yourself, you better have some documentation while you're there that you know you're a volunteer. You're not an employee.
Yep. Well, and I just used that system to sign up for Parks as a volunteer for the cleanup days. I did.
What a guy.
I know. Well, I'm the liaison.
You can't
Park
volunteer as an employee.
But I can still go out there, yeah. They didn't reject my application.
He's a supervisory volunteer.
It was a very easy-to-use system.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it.
But I'm wondering if we should implement something like that countywide.
Yep. Besides committees and commissions where else might you volunteer? I guess Sheriff Auxiliary or that's
Animal
probably got
control,
an official process.
Shelter.
Airports.
Huh?
We have all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, animal control, that's
Emergency,
no shortage.
Not the control. I meant the shelter. The shelter. Yeah. They have volunteers 365 days a week.
Well, then it sounds like it might be valuable. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of volunteers out there.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But we're not tracking it well right now.
We're not. It's not. It's not consistent in my estimation.
So maybe you can make that part of the website redesign with that company.
If the website's
working, there's a specific software that Park subscribes to because it's user friendly. So they pay a monthly fee to be part of that program.
Okay. Well, at least they, if they left a bookmark for it, whatever, whatever the computer speaks.
But I didn't even know they had that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, because I think, going countywide would be great, and it would help take at least one little thing off of JJ's plate.
Or make it easier for him to follow
Make it easier for him to manage it, yeah.
But the internship program we still haven't talked about as far as developing...
I think we need to reach out to our department heads to see what their potential is for an internship. Describe what that is, like the schools can bring somebody by and work in public works 2 days a week, 8 hours a day, you know, on the deal like they have out in Cape Junction. Is there potential there? Is there a need, and can they fill that?
And I think
leave it up to the department heads, not just blanket across the whole thing.
Well, I think we need to encourage them to do it. But community corrections used to do it a lot because a practicum is usually one term that you have to fulfill in college. So we were contacted frequently by practicum students. But when our new director came on board, he believed that he wanted two terms out of students to make it worth his while. And so when he first came on, implemented a two-term minimum, they've never had a practicum since with the POs because the school requirements are one term. And so it essentially stopped the program. Now, their treatment program, their year-long internship practicum students, so that's different. They're still doing that one. But as far as the POs used to get them fairly regularly, and that stopped when it came up with a six-month requirement. So it might be nice to have a county-wide policy about it as far as in, are we partnering in a way that is helping recruit.
No, sounds good. This next one, 2, A, B, and C, I'm going to need a municipal interpreter.
Which one? Create clarity around existing internal resources. Create a message board, annual internal service fund survey, methodology of allocations. So the message board was kind of like what they were talking about with the department head one further up as far as some kind of internal messaging that, hey, by the way, here's a resource if you need it, or, hey, we came across this. For instance, this week, I learned that Parks had that software for volunteers. Is that something we put out there on that message board? Say, hey, this software is really user-friendly and it wasn't terribly expensive. If anyone's interested, here's a great resource. That could be something that countywide you'd share internally. But I don't think we vetted through who all it was exactly for.
Right.
Separately from the department head one, why it's in two places, we can try to ask. The internal service fund survey was a matter of if we're meeting the needs, if there's more need or not, I think, or how that's going. Is that your recollection?
I don't know what the internal service fund survey would bring you.
Is it the rate the right way?
I mean, if you put out to every department head, what do you think the rate ought to be, and they go, drop it.
Ask them about the rate.
Go ahead.
I thought it was more about for ISF, probably fleet and facilities as well. Are you receiving the services that you want? Is the level of service adequate?
Okay.
Are you getting the needs met?
Are there any shortages that you're seeing?
Is HR doing a good job in your perspective? Are we meeting your needs? Are we too slow to react?
Okay.
Right, because I think that'd be valuable for tracking, especially when employees change and commissioners change, to be able to look at that.
Yeah, value also in terms of the budget, because when it comes time to start talking about the real number for the internal service fund contribution, it's like, well, nobody ever wants it to go up, do they?
Yeah.
But then it's okay, I get that, but we've got survey results here that say
you want more.
Evidence-based.
You want more, so if we're going to answer that.
You got a way, you know, in terms of get nobody wants to pay more, but we also
might
get
be a real eye-opener.
Right, and it can bring facts to a
Yes.
Emotional conversation.
Which it is. Yes. It is. So.
Yeah.
Well, people work hard, you know, on these grants, and they line it up for years sometimes, and then just to have that haircut come off the top.
Right. It's
understandable.
Okay.
Yep, so I can see the value in that, and now I think I understand what it's for.
Is that about right?
Yep. Methodology of allocations. What does that one mean? Are we talking about like the economic development funds? Is there?
There was question about internal service fund. Some departments are using it more. Sheriff's office is really using HR a lot, where some of those departments maybe aren't. Juveniles using HR a lot. Public health has. I mean, so there's different departments that are, everybody's paying 8% across the board, but some departments are using it nonstop and others are maybe using it once in a while. So is the methodology of the allocation of cost and usage appropriate?
Now,
or is there a base level of usage that comes in that percentage and then something like you meet a threshold and then you need to pay a portion more because you're using it more?
Right, so everybody's paying 5%, but some need to pay.
I think that the allocation structure now, it might be mandated in Oregon budget law.
Okay.
So, yeah, and, well, I don't know the answer about Oregon budget law, but I would suggest that in virtually all of our grant agreements, the agreement requires us to assign the minimum ISF, penalty, if you will.
Oh,
and
right.
So, if we drop it for somebody to 5%, then I think the grant arrangements would expect that we'd have to drop it for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that making sense?
Yeah, it does.
The grants that we enter into generally require that the minimal ISF allocation come out of it.
You just can't arbitrarily just take 1% to 5%.
I don't think so. This isn't the final word. I could really do some research, but that's my understanding.
What would be the reasoning behind that? Why would you do that?
FAA doesn't want to just be the one that pays 15% of the ISF when the other, Department of Energy only has to pay
5%. Yeah.
Right. So level field playing.
Well, just make sure it's the same all the way across the board, right?
Well, I was not hearing that exactly from what Commissioner Morgan was discussing. It sounded like there was more of there's a baseline, and then you can go higher if you have a higher level of usage.
Go over a threshold.
Which is a different kind of
approach. I don't think that there was a consensus on what to do, but I think there was a request to look at it and if it's where it needs to be.
Well, so it'd be nice to have that first answer. I don't know if that's Arthur that would know the budget law
answer.
I think that would help. Because then there's no need
Rosemary
to discuss it further.
Was here, all the ISF departments went through a very elaborate way of doing exactly what you're talking about, where it was allocated based on usage. So, for instance, legal would have, some departments would pay more. It was kind of a nightmare to try to figure it out every year. And
I don't know if we want to go there. The board probably ended up one of your best customers.
And the practicality, how we prioritize, I can generally say, is through by deadlines.
Is it broken down?
And so if there's an external deadline, and a lot of what we work with, it has to do with external deadlines, court imposed deadlines and the like, that's going to get typically top priority. And then we prioritize according to where the deadline came from and how hard it is.
We priority, but back before we did it with the straight percentage across the board, it was done, every ISF department had a different allocation methodology, and ours happened to be based on a 5-year look back of how many files you opened for a particular department and how much... there was this whole methodology that was just took a lot of work. And so when Rosemary switched that to be across the board, everybody was like,
"Is it broken?"
It was a lot easier.
I don't know. The topic came up, and I don't remember. I think that was part of it. Just look at, is it broken? But quite frankly, so if you have a department with a bigger budget, they're paying a bigger portion. But it's still 8%. If it's a smaller, it's still 8%. So if there's anyone not paying their fair share.
I mean, if we're getting one complaint from one department, that's one thing. But if we're getting complaints from half of the departments, then it's something we need to address. That's what I'm saying. Is it broken? If we're just getting an isolated phone call and say, well, I don't think I'm paying the fair amount. Or I'm paying more than my fair share.
What if I bring it up to the next department manager meeting and discuss and see if they have issues with it? And if they do, I'll bring it back.
See what the consensus is. Is that fair?
That would work. I didn't know you were bringing the boss in.
See if anybody
Arthur could make it.
Arthur's out and about, so I brought the boss in.
But that was the question. There was a question that came up in the goal setting, as if there's some departments that are utilizing ISF departments nonstop.
Right.
And so kind of getting more than what their 8% worth is what the theory was. And there's others that are paying the 8% and don't really get much services needed. And so there was an ask of, is the allocation appropriate? Or is there state law that dictates that they all have to be the same?
A lot of grantors, the federal government especially, they're going to want to make sure if this is our money, you're not charging more just because it's us and we have deeper pockets. We want to make sure.
Well, I think that's what we talked about, just even across the board makes sense.
So for federal grants is the reason why we keep everybody at the same rate.
Yes, effectively. Primarily.
Good reason.
Now, there was something about should we be charging 10% instead of 8% for the federal grants. I remember that question came up a couple years ago. Because
And we reviewed it, and we were trying to get it as low as possible. We review it every year in the budget. And so then the budget committee can change that, but the recommended one was to stay the same this year. Right now it's set to go.
Didn't it go up? 17-18 it went up?
We've actually taken it down. We were able to find some cost savings and bring it down some.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh, did you get anything in your mailbox that said thanks for lowering the ISF? Well,
yes.
I didn't get it.
It was the justice levy.
That's
what happened. The board came out.
The board came out of it, ISF, so we could say that no money from the levy came to us.
Everything else.
That's the rest of the story.
We got some of our payroll fees down and whatnot. Workers' comp went down.
PERS went down?
No. That
went
way
high. There you go.
Yeah, we're
there
still.
There you go. Just go home. You found it.
Kept the fight in that one.
Okay, we got to keep. We do need to keep moving, though, because I think some of our other conversations will be.
But the big issues.
So, anything on that last?
Thank you, Sandy.
Item 3, and you just found a fallback career, by the way.
Best communication channels to reach each other effectively. I get frustrated with this. I've tried to tell everybody I'm liaison to, don't call my desk phone.
Right.
They'll call my desk phone and leave me a voicemail. I can't check that voicemail off-site or easy, you know, as we're sitting here. It's like, but text me or email me and I can respond while I'm in a meeting.
Yeah. And I had a red light on my phone for about a week. I finally asked Wendy what it was.
she said, it's your wife. She's on hold. Judy's on hold. That's why I turned red about 3 days ago.
All right, that's good.
But yeah, so you learned you had voicemail.
Yes, that somebody left a message for a week. I listened to it and it already become irrelevant, but
I think the ask and be responsive is probably the best thing, because he said that I think that was my biggest one of my frustrations at goal setting was, hey, I called you. Nope, I left a message. I got three phones actually.
Yeah.
You know, out of the clear blue sky, who does the governor call? Calls my private cell phone. How'd you get that?
Right.
But that, you know, so it wasn't anything to do with the county,
Secret
but it was
Service.
My phone. And I was vaguely troubled by that, but then not really when I got all done talking. But that was one of the things. How, you know, where does the communication lie? Well, I sent you an email. Does that let you off the hook because I didn't know that? Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, the ask and say, you know, what's the best way? I need to establish.
Yeah.
I need to declare what's the best way. You know, best way to get a hold of me, 0342 or 0471 or whatever it is.
I had someone an hour ago tell me, I texted you 3 days ago and you didn't respond. So I pulled up the contact in my messages, I said, my last text from you was February 26th.
Right.
I didn't receive it. You know,
text, I think, gives you the most documentation because it tells when the guy called.
Or email, yeah.
Yeah, or email. But, like I said,
I think it's
a good ask. I think it's a good ask. I have no problem with this. Find out.
So this does say that, was it department heads or just emergency contacts? Who was all supposed to notify John as far as our preferred method of contact? Because they wanted to update the contact sheet as far as people's preferred contact.
Yeah, and well, he should send an email out
so that
it all came back to him.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
I'll follow up with
Sarah and ask for a response.
Yeah. Sarah Rubeck might just be the natural choice for that task because she keeps track of the emergency contacts anyway.
But that's in a program. She didn't have a list. Yeah.
Seems like she updates it anyway.
They do in that program. It's not like they can print a list from that program. It's all by individual.
McCafferty can do the same thing.
Can do anything.
Yep.
Stuff we don't even know. Okay. That only leaves some really big ones.
So we're flipping to the front?
Yeah, I think. Unless you got others. So there's, what, four up there? And I added a fifth one.
What's your fifth?
My fifth was define chair roles.
Yeah. Wheels or no wheels?
Exactly.
That was under develop?
Yeah. I made a number five there and said define chair roles. And so define the role and function of the BCC liaison process.
I honestly think that's contingent on our office admin roles.
Yep, I think so too.
So we can't define liaison roles till we talk about our admin. And I've talked to a couple department heads since, and the consensus was that they said this was the number one priority is getting our office situation fixed for communication and function. And I had someone say that at goal setting. They said, my number one priority of a department head is getting the county to hire an administrator. And so I challenged and I said, what is not working that you think an administrator will work better? And, you know, kind of talking through that, but we had a couple options coming out of that, and I know that JJ emailed us some options for different structure and stuff, but kind of where I thought things were left was that they had recommended that each of us have a full-time person working for each of us. That was the consensus out of goal setting, was that there would be a full-time person kind of assigned to each commissioner that worked together to handle office staff, but then there would be an office manager or function over them that supervised the three.
Right. And that I got mixed messages. And I've been talking to department heads since. And so one way we could attack this subject is, say, have you come to any conclusion? Have I come to a conclusion? Have you come to a conclusion? How will you think things should be if changes, if any?
And I apologize, but I haven't asked that question of any of my department heads yet.
No.
But I will, because I've got some pretty heavy hitters just to say, okay, is it broken? Number one question. Is it broken if they say yes?
They said very clearly in goal setting it is broken.
Right.
Yeah.
We've asked that question.
But it needs something, yeah.
It does.
I don't want just to raise a hand. I want to know, you know, by asking each department, do you think it's broken? If you do, what's wrong?
Right.
But they said that. That's what came out of it. They said,
I know, they raised their hand.
There's not communication.
But he didn't get any more further conversation with them. Right. And I've had a couple conversations. And so maybe we won't solve this one today, which is okay.
No, that's fine.
But if we want to take a week and vet that subject out a little further.
I would like to make sure of the intensity of this. I know, I heard what they said. Everybody, you need this, you need that, but I want some clarity on that. What's your idea?
What did they say at the manager's meeting last Monday?
Nothing. All they did was let me talk.
You left, they had plenty to say, because I've gotten people to tell me about it.
Yeah.
Not all about you.
Next time, don't put me down on there for 2.5 subjects, and I'll be fine to leave.
We
didn't discuss the role of the admin staff. We discussed the role of that meeting, primarily.
Okay.
And what, you know, how we can make that meeting more effective.
Which
we,
meeting?
We did the manager.
The manager's meeting. Okay.
As it relates to the admin staff, we did recommend that one of the admin staff attend the meeting so that they could be a conduit of what decisions are made in that meeting to the board in the most effective way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it kind of goes back to the wanting to have somebody report back to department heads what decisions we make in our meetings.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, a memo or whatever that looks like.
Well, right. Overwhelmingly, what I heard is there's an issue with the fact that there's no one that supervises our staff, or that they have a three-headed monster of a supervisor, which doesn't really work.
Yep.
And that's what people have followed up with me saying, is that they need to have somebody they answer to. They need to work for somebody.
Right, and where I'm at now, I'm going to suggest that we wait one more week, but I want to let you guys know where I'm at,
okay.
And I may get moved from there. But right now, I see us three board members, and then I see some sort of office manager that was the nexus to department heads and to the three commissioners. And then that person, office manager, would have whatever staff support they need, whether that's two part-time people, one or two full-time people, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that if I had a personal assistant working for me, that they'd be bored about half the day and wondering what they were supposed to do, because I don't think there'd be enough work for one person. But I think that if that one office manager could delegate whatever work was coming from the board to their employees, that makes sense to me right now, but I haven't fully vetted even my own idea. But that's where I'm kind of at right now.
Well, I think Commissioner Morgan mentioned it, that it was if you had an office manager, if each commissioner had someone that
an
takes
assistant,
care of,
right.
Somebody just takes care of them. I agree with you. I don't think it's a full-time job. But that's when they go back to just doing the regular. And the office manager is not going to do all the board business. But you know, there's plenty of work if you have that. If they go right back, they're not full time. Gee, I'm just going to take care of Commissioner Morgan, because you're right, they'd be standing around a lot.
That's not a full. But they had expressed that they were concerned of who do they go to if they want to get a hold of Dan. Let's go to that person or Lily.
Right.
The other thing is there is a great deal of work that was administrative function that our office used to do that has been pushed off to legal.
Yes.
Which is part of why there's a bottleneck in legal. If we were actually doing our full functions we're supposed to be doing, it would free up legal to
take
do
some,
what
take
they're
some
doing.
Take some heat off of legal.
There's things that they're doing that we're
do you
supposed
to
be doing.
Have one example of that?
Pat can.
What are we doing?
Drafting an order.
Yeah. Yeah. We got one tomorrow. We're putting on for Tuesday. We were just talking about.
Yeah, I think a lot of the administrative orders, resolutions,
even letters to people that we write.
Yes. Some letters.
Yeah.
Just sort of made its way over there for a lot of reasons over the years. A lot of staff changes in this office, and for whatever reason, some people have stayed over there longer, and so there's been more of a continuity, and so I think that's why it started going that way. And the one that Wally's talking about, we were just talking about today, has to do with that CDRP, is that the name of it? The one that you brought us, Lily, of the U of O Law School.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, yeah. The
Community Dispute Resolution Program.
Yeah.
And that used to, and that's a program that's been going on for years, and there were people in this office, admin people in this office, who could take that and run with it and know exactly what to do just by reading through it. And I don't think it's a bad idea right now to bring that back in, if that's the way that the board decides to go with that. We're going to talk about it next week at the board meeting.
I think it's the only item on the agenda.
Yeah, right now.
At this point, so.
But we were going to bring it back and just kind of walk through the process with you, find out what you want to do. But if the board, for instance, decided, yeah, let's move forward with, it's essentially an RFP process, It's very spelled out by the U of L Law School and the steps to follow to do it. And I guess I would say that I would like to see it come back over here, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind being available to help whoever you folks decide should be able to do it from here and help them walk through the process. Because... Yeah, I have a vested interest in getting that stuff off my desk.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's our function in the first place.
Yeah, and I don't see any reason why we can't move it forward. I think give people the opportunity to show us they can do it.
Through time, they've kind of...
Instead of just thinking they can't.
Yeah, they've kind of been delegated out to just secretarial or minimum schedule, blah, 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 but it's not actually doing the full function of support of the commissioner's office that it could.
And I will say that some of that, it comes directly from the board, because the board apparently from time to time through the years doesn't feel or hasn't felt like they can go to their staff. Instead, it's directly over to our staff to say, hey, can you help me with this, when quite often it's something that, I don't mean a real, you know, legal issue that has to have a legal opinion. That's not what I mean. I mean a administrative task that you know, the board staff has
at our staff should have the ability to do that and keep it out of your office.
And if they don't,
do more of it. Let's shift some more of it back over here.
And I guess I'm saying that like I said, I don't mind helping to walk people through those processes, because it frankly has, you know, it helps us out in the end.
Well, yeah, and it but you could be proofreading one that's already done instead of helping create.
That's exactly what we used to do. Before it transitioned sort of more over to our office, that's exactly what we used to do.
Right.
It wasn't that we were out of it completely, but perhaps the board staff would begin it, would begin an order, and, you know, they'd say, well, legally, am I on the right track with this?
Or
especially if they were pulling up old forms to sort of follow, because that's all we really do, you know.
Giving away your secrets, you better be
careful. Well, I mean, it's just knowing where to find things and sort of update from the law. And, you know, I mean, we look at things, but for the administrative parts of it, I think it'd be a great idea to throw back over here whatever we can.
Well, I would, while we're on the subject of stuff that we do that we'd rather not, a really, really, really big one is compiling records and land use decisions. That is just tens of hours in any... It could be 20 to 40 hours on an average.
The board staff has never done that.
There's no reason they shouldn't.
Why should it not be the planning department?
Yeah, that's another candidate.
The planning department used to start it, and then it would... Then we just signed off.
And sign off, yeah.
But that's now completely switched.
It could be the board, however, if in conjunction with planning. And in terms of how we bring documentation in for these. But it's an example, and that's something that I would say takes 20 to 40 hours sometimes, literally of staff time, I'm not joking. And so you see a land use appeal coming down the lane,
and what we see haven't had is one, and now that you're talking about it, it's probably getting
focused on for a week. I know. Well,
don't talk about it.
We're working with planning on that type of thing. But anyway, so that's a good example right there. It gets real...
Can you and JJ put your heads together and put up kind of a job description of what that entails, so we know what we are taking on?
Well, we already have it, I think.
Okay.
Under the layers that JJ has emailed there was. Did you see the email that JJ sent?
Option 2, 3, 4, and 5. And
the chief of staff would probably be the level that does that or higher, but the office manager in and of itself. But I think the chief of staff level, which is essentially a little higher than office manager, but not as high as a COO.
It is a name.
But, you know, my thought is that whoever, I think, one, we do need to hire somebody to be in charge of our office staff. We currently have functions going on out there that are supervisory in nature, and nobody is assigned that role, and I am concerned about that. It also gives us a point of person that is our contact, and then they make sure staff carries it out.
But they're also bringing things up to the board.
They're helping with the communication. Yeah. They're helping with the back and forth. They're facilitating. When we're in a meeting and we might randomly say, gosh, I want to do that, they're the ones that write that down and follow up with that email and make sure that staff was notified. And I think that is
when they're creating memos about what happened in the meeting.
Correct.
Really.
Correct. And yeah. I mean, I simply send an email afterwards. Here's a summary. Well, you know, right. It doesn't have to be a formal anything, but just a. You need to know this was decided. You were impacted by this. Here you go. But I would, I mean, any of those people, if we do hire someone like that, I would like to send them to other counties and visit other counties and see how other counties are doing things to get an idea of the options available of how right. things are done. See how they do their resolutions orders. See how they do their minutes and ready stuff. Get that feedback from other people so we're not reinventing. Think of how much we get out of going to AOC or NACO for me. When you have that time of interaction with other professionals in our mm-hmm. industry, how do you deal with that circumstance? And they get, oh, I hadn't thought of that. You get something out of that. That same thing for that one. The other thing is Pat has a lot of institutional history and has not really, I think there's a, oh, let's just have legal do it. We'll ask when we need. But I think there's a level of, there's things that our staff need trained on that you would probably be best to do that. Is my opinion only, and you can take it or leave it. But.
Well, and I agree there needs to be some sort of office manager. I'm not sure what to call it yet. I know what not to call it.
Yep.
It's not an administrator. And it's no. not
a, well, an administrator is a much higher level than an office manager.
I know some things that it's not. But I also want to suggest that if we decide that's where we're heading, that we want to put a group together, whether it's us three and three department heads or eight department heads, I don't know what it looks like, some sort of group to hire that person and not just be us three. Because the function is not just from our end.
Sure.
And so I think we'd get a lot more buy-in to the new process.
If they would be seen as kind of a department head, as they of mm-hmm. sorts, kind of, or the supervisor of, you know, the last two department office. Heads, JJ has helped facilitate, is involved in those. And then we've invited some other people, like we've had Roy sit in. We've had department head, other agencies or other department heads that can maybe feed towards that outcome to give feedback. So we can have the panel of interviewees as big as we want it. When we were hiring the Fair Board manager, we had three board members, Fair Board members,
right.
three of us, and JJ. I mean, it was a huge panel. So the panel is definitely more than just us.
Okay, good.
Can I wanted to just make one suggestion that any time there any of the staff of the board's office has had any sort of a legal background, it's been a very big plus.
Mm.
I'm just putting that plug in.
I endorse that plug, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just, from a lot of different perspectives, the whole confidentiality issues.
That's an issue right now.
Yeah, knowing where to find things. It's not like people that work in legal offices know everything, but they kind of know where to look.
Correct.
Right. We don't want to open another door.
Don't know.
Well, and I find it interesting.
Look for things all the time.
We had an intern.
Freedom of information.
Yeah, we had an intern in here who had to sign a confidentiality agreement to volunteer for 3 weeks, but our own staff don't sign confidentiality agreements, which, to me, that should be a bare minimum. If you work in this office, it's confidential in nature and should have confidentiality form signed, in my opinion.
I don't know about forms. I've never signed a form. Nobody.
But you know that you're under legal requirements.
That's the key. Is that it's the expectation that needs to be probably told to people mm-hmm. if they don't already understand that, but they shouldn't understand it.
So, So I had been asked by two department heads to attend the Office of Emergency Management Conference next week in Bend. So I'm going Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Cool.
I don't really, and cool is not my word for that. I don't want to be gone.
No, it's going to be cold, not cool.
Indeed. But as far as where we would next be able to have a conversation, we're looking at all the way to the last week of March, which is spring break.
That is out there.
So I just want, I mean, if we're not deciding on something today, I think we need to keep in mind it's going to be several weeks, and I think that it hanging out there is a problem.
And the budget process marches on.
Yeah. Correct.
What day are you here next week?
I'm here Monday next week, and they filled it with several departments wanting to meet. But I'm...
Is there any reason why we can't, basic, not necessarily, but create the position so that budget can work on it? We don't really need to describe what that position is right now until we
work on it. Sounds wise to me. Year's current budget?
We're already out of our budget currently.
Well, for your staff, actually you're not. So for your staff, what is currently budget? You didn't fill what was currently budget. You have an NU16 supervisor position and two full-time NU12 positions. And so,
and right now we have two.
Currently, you have one NU12 position
and two NU10 part-time
positions.
Yeah.
So, your current budget is less than what is budgeted. So, if your intention is to have three full-time plus a manager, that would be a fairly substantive increase in your budget. But if it's to have three, even if one of them is a manager, the current budget would facilitate that.
So in other words, if we had two full-time, because you're going to create the new position, then a full-time, then two part-time, which is you're in.
It's the same as three.
Mm-hmm. You're in. You're the same as we're within the budget.
Even though we may have to pay an office manager more than whatever you call
it. What you say was the 16, right?
If it's an office manager or a... chief of staff, if those are the two options you would like to pick, current structure would afford that.
Okay, does somebody have to go, though? Because if you're going to bring in an outside applicant and you only got three positions, you got three people working over there.
We have two part-time.
Yeah.
So it'd be three FTEs
altogether. So we can
altogether.
Bring one in right now and we wouldn't
change
the structure.
Just put them in
right now. We have
four individuals working over there then?
Yes, for three positions.
Four individuals, but two are part-time. You have two FTEs and two part-time. So it's three FTEs total.
Well, and it sounds like that's the way we're heading. It's just we need to define the roles and responsibilities of that person.
My dog's in surgery. Might be done. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I was thinking not necessarily in terms of this budget year, though it's nice to know that the option is there and it's probably something the board should employ. But as you plan for next year. You know, I mean, the budget process for next year is, of course, already
left the station.
Launched. So this is your chance to get that
structure
in there.
Structure, and you know, you'll have a decision before we're done with budget. But as far as you know, if giving finance what they need in the next few weeks, you could keep the current structure.
Keep the current structure. You can always amend it. At the end of budget. You can amend it anyway if we get it. Yeah.
It'd be nice to have it in.
If we don't, we're not up against the deadline. If we're already covered, I don't think.
Well, there's time to make an adjustment because the cost differential. If you decide to have three FTE with one of them being some sort of office manager or chief of staff. The cost differential is minimal.
Get back to the office manager and knock the chief of staff stuff off.
Yeah. Well, they're similar.
Do you not like that word?
I don't like that. It sounds a little politically charged.
It sounds a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like
that's the person we want, but we want to call him that.
I agree.
Like that.
You can call him whatever. The reason I did that is...
You can't call him whatever.
Different titles have been used over the last couple of years.
Right.
I've heard COO, I've heard county administrator with swear words attached to it. I've heard chief of staff, I've heard office manager, and so I wanted to say, this is what these look like.
Yeah. Right, and that helps.
To me, the chief of staff was the closest to what I was looking at the function of, not necessarily the title, but the function that you described.
Yeah, and that's what me and Dan were just saying. We like that job description, but we want to lower it to office manager or something a little less political.
Correct.
You would have to call chief of staff. I mean, that title actually comes from Tillamook County. They have that position. And it's a hodgepodge, a little this, a little that, and they call it chief.
Is that the husband and wife team?
No.
No.
That's Klamath County. Oh.
I'm thinking Tillamook.
Tillamook County doesn't have a husband wife team.
No, I know who you're talking about, though, Tillamook.
Rachel is the chief of staff in Tillamook right now. She supervises a couple ISFs. I was using that there's no function taken away from the commissioners. They're still the strong commission kind of thing.
Right.
But if you also look at legislature, every legislator in Oregon has a chief of staff.
Right.
And they have them in office as something that runs. So it's not just to commission. We can look at what things are titled throughout the state and see with something that's like-minded that would work without the controversy. But I like the description of the duties that you had listed there.
And so we talked about just putting it in the budget and still then defining the job description in the interim.
Correct.
Right. I forgot which moment you went to talk to you.
I just have to say my puppy's okay.
Good.
So,
okay.
She is. She's recovering from surgery.
I'm 5 years without a pet at home, so I'm very happy.
Congratulations. My 6-month-old puppy ended up with cancer on her foot.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Pet?
No.
Are you thinking pet, kids, responsibility? No.
No thanks.
Car?
Not interested.
Car?
Yeah, all you.
Car's fine.
Cars just sit there.
I shut the motor off. It doesn't cry. It doesn't whine. Right. It doesn't.
Doesn't make a mess, hopefully.
Yeah.
Right. Doesn't need new 90s.
I appreciate the progress we're making.
Me too.
So the admin roles.
We got to burn. I know, right?
I mean, the reality is, though, we are looking for somebody that is basically at an executive level of an executive assistant or managing executive. That's not the right terminology, but basically someone functioning as head of our staff.
Department.
That if you took the commissioners away, what does the BCC department need to manage it? And that's what we're hiring.
Okay. Yep. And I concur.
An office manager.
Yep.
Well, no, an office manager title isn't enough, I don't think.
Right, and it's just because
we have that in the county.
If you want to have some big fancy word to put on a parking lot bumper, do it. I don't care. I think the role is much more important than the title.
I think it's more, and I think what's expected out of our department is more. And we have that title in other positions in the county, and we got to make sure that what we're doing, is it the same as that? Or are we saying it's like a department head going to the department head manager, therefore it does need almost a chief
of staff?
Find
us a new title. Somewhere.
It's worth coming together on that very important point.
So we do need to.
Aiming at. Yeah, I don't know that we're together. I don't know that the three are together on what you just said.
Okay.
So it's probably worth what she's saying, I think, is that the person would be tantamount to a department manager, a department head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to make sure that everyone's... I want to find out where everyone's at.
Yeah, we're tracking with that.
Yes.
No, and I think it functions like that. I'm not in it long enough to know what to call it. And so...
That was the critical piece I was asking about, is how does it function?
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Commissioner? Or
no.
Sound about right?
See, what
we're
that does, if we do this as a department head, they hire and fire their own staff. It's no longer on us to hire the support staff. It's on, we have one department head, that's our staff person.
And I think that's appropriate, because they need to have staff that works with them well.
Yeah.
And we don't want to micromanage that.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
That's
so I agree.
So we kind of have consensus on...
We
sounds
do.
Like it to me.
Yep, we just got to narrow down some, making sure we got the job description where we want it. It's close.
Okay, and play with the title.
Mm-hmm, play with
the
title.
So why don't I, we have a job description that's 90% there already. I will tinker with the job description, send it to you individually, and you can send back to me individually your feedback, and then I will schedule a meeting when we have a quorum of the board for finalizing it and hiring.
Okay. Yep, or when all three of us are here.
And I had given him the blue line of the one we posted 2 years ago. I gave him the blue line because it showed what we had, what was changed, and just printed it and gave it to him as a FYI. Here's what we did 2 years ago.
Right.
So is that what you're saying is almost there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, office managers / project manager, something like that is what it was.
Yeah, but the title wasn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
could we take a look and share some with you as to what we think might need to come over?
That would be great.
Yeah, I'd love to collaborate on that.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Okay. So,
and we can also confer with other counties in terms of what they call it.
Yeah.
And what kind of role?
Yeah, I think they already have that in the packet. What's their office support staff is called?
Okay, that was progress, by the way. That's what it looks like. And so I think that'll really help with the function of the BCC liaison process. I think those two are tied together because. That we'll see how those things jump the gap that are getting dropped in the gap now. Because this is a new opportunity for the information not to do that. And so I think those go kind of hand in hand. Because then it's an opportunity to change that to where you're fully not relying on your BCC contact connection, where now you've got this office manager connection, where you know things will be followed up and can go to all three.
Well, the office manager would be able to direct it. Now, that isn't something, you know, you need to do that here and there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to be a talented
person. Beat that
person.
Horse. Is that horse pretty well whipped out?
I think that's about as far as we can go today with it.
So then the questions are roles of chair and liaison structure.
Should we put something to bed about having a county administrator?
We're not having one.
Perfect. That's all I wanted to hear. That's settled.
We all three in agreement?
It's back here on this BCC administrative structure survey. There's a lot of county administrators on here, and I think we talked about it. And some of the hands raised over at the thing were, I get a county administrator. And I'm not particularly happy with that.
I thought they backed off of it, though, if we can fix some of the administrative function in our office.
I think we can take care of it in-house. As a start. My only experience with a county administrator, I don't think, was real...
positive?
Was real positive. And I don't like having a hand up my back, moving my head around and working my jaw.
I think if it's not in the charter, it's doomed to fail.
It's a crunch. Administrator takes a charter change, I think, because of its responsibility move.
Curry County has one that's not in their charter.
Really?
They have a different title similar to COO.
Well, but it's actually called County Administrator there.
They removed County Administrator.
They now have
Director of Operations.
I know, and it's semantics again, but it's also perception, because when you say that, in some political circles, it means something.
Unless the people have spoken and said they wanted, I would advise against it.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till the chorus gets loud.
You're going to bring back a description for us to approve, and then we'll move into hiring on the admin. Yeah. And you guys are going to give feedback, and we'll get that going as soon as possible.
That sums it up.
Okay, so then there's capital master plan, comprehensive strategic plan, and chair roles. Left to discuss,
and the liaisons at the top. And honestly, I think we should wait to talk about the capital master plan and comprehensive strategic plan for another day.
Okay.
Unless we can tackle that all today.
Well, I thought liaison was to bed too, thinking let's wait and see how this new position works out.
Well, I think there's a couple things we can.
But yeah, I want to hear you out.
I think there's more to the liaison roles that I think we should define at some point than simply a weekly report and do we eliminate the quarterly reports.
Right, and putting out fires.
Correct. Right. But that's what I mostly get. Hey, need to give you a heads up. We're firing this person because of blah, 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 blah. Hey, need to give you a heads up. This customer was really upset because of blah, 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 blah. Okay, thanks. You know, those are mostly what my interactions are. Or someone will ask, and I'll put it back to you, what is your recommendation? You know, Now, all three of us got an email that's community corrections related, and I could give you a whole lot of feedback on that one. And I simply responded and said, since you have mentioned other actions going to be taken, I inferred that to be legal action. I said, you now can talk to our legal counsel.
Yes.
And I proceeded to get multiple emails throughout the night in Russian from these people, and it's like, crud, I have a stalker now.
What happened?
But there's things I can give you feedback on about supervision and all that, but it's like, we got to trust the process. We got to give it back to our department heads of what solutions do you recommend when we get these complaints. But I still think, yesterday I met with Sarah about the my Washington, D.C. meeting and gave her the update on that.
Emergency or parks?
Parks.
Okay.
I'm not her liaison. But because I was in D.C., I brought that topic at you guys' request.
Yeah, I remember.
And for the BLM stuff. And what she expressed at one point was frustration of mixed messages. That her liaison had said that he was passing information along to us that we never got. Mm-hmm. And she had a meeting with that something was decided on and then a different course was taken. And I think there's still some concern with department heads, and at some point we probably should follow up. And one of the suggestions that was made that I would love us to look at is maybe a work group with a commissioner and a couple department heads or someone and say, what is your recommendation for liaison role? or how do you want to see that? Maybe that's something that would, so it's not just, I know you had the perspective of they can give me a weekly email and we'll report back on it.
I'll remove that.
Well, some of the feedback I had, people express concern that they don't want everything they report to us to turn around and come out in a public meeting. So how do we...
When they get their report on Tuesday that they don't want something on Wednesday, they don't put it on the report on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But if they report to you, it's open gangway and you're going to go to the commissioners with all of it.
Yeah.
But if they don't want it, if Dave doesn't want something to go to the other commissioners to be out in open public meeting because it's something he is between the liaison and it, then he didn't say it.
Or they come to the street commissioners and get us an update. It's pretty simple. It doesn't
get any bigger now, but we'll just, let's see what they say.
Well, and I wonder what you guys thought about that, about maybe creating a work group to discuss liaison roles. So then it's not us dictating what they are. It's getting feedback.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
And a good step. But the liaison relationship is so unique to each department.
Yeah.
When you compare forestry with parks, over to planning to health, you know, there's different connection there and different weight to it or whatever. Some's politically charged, then other stuff is just like, well, yeah, you guys, you need to hire another person.
Some are on the phone multiple times a week, and there's others that you, oh, have we talked in a couple weeks?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Like me and the surveyor's office, you know, we don't have the strong bond.
there's staff down there for you to get.
I can get to know them and be there for them, but there's not a lot of weekly, hey, I got to get this on your agenda so you guys can make a decision. You know, that it just doesn't happen. So that liaison relationship is so different than the other ones. Like, okay, I got another customer that's not happy in planning or whatever. There's a lot of different interaction. And so I think it'll develop differently with that office manager in place, because some information that is technical and needs to come before the board will just go that way. And the other stuff, the personnel issues or whatever, they want advice or budget issues, then that's one where you could sit down and talk. And so it's going to break that, or it's going to change that relationship.
I think we're heretofore missing the issue, and all that is exactly right, and I think that's exactly the course to pursue for that aspect of the liaison system. But the really dysfunctional part is when major decisions get made, by the liaison, and the department head really doesn't have the access to the board or doesn't feel entitled to do so, and then the board
finds out about it. Or has been ordered not to talk to other board members.
I really think the board could make a lot of ground by talking about that here today in terms of the liaison role and perhaps coming to some kind of consensus and understanding, and that would really be productive to emerge from today if everyone could come to consensus on whatever that is.
There was a delta there that all of a sudden, you know, we had it on a couple of three issues that really got contentious towards the end of last year. And I don't want to do that. I would rather say, okay, you know, let's bring this to the board as a whole rather than say, okay, well, I did my idea, and I think we called it a backroom deal that nobody else knew about until the 11th hour. Didn't like that.
Right.
Our department heads didn't like it. There's a lot of people didn't like a lot of things there. And I think we want to avoid that. I think it's that we all need to be, sometimes when I'm not here, you're going to hear it. Oh, I need to talk to a commissioner about this. Fine, you should be able to do that.
So there, I had written notes, and I forgot they were on my whiteboard. And the liaison roles, it was talking about process, communications, and inconsistency. And part of it mainly is defining expectation. So does a department head understand expectation of their relationship with their liaison versus the full board? Do we as commissioners understand expectation as a liaison to the full board and to that department head? And if we each have a different perspective because we've never defined those,
yes,
expectations are unrealized, and that's still something we haven't done.
Correct.
And I think it would be fair to actually establish, maybe even through a policy or something after that board would maybe look at it, of what expectations, so we have consistency. Unless that's over bureaucracy.
Right.
I mean, but right now, we each do it differently. We don't report the same. There's things done by different ones at different times. What can we put in place right now that establishes a pattern that in 2 years when another commissioner may be in here, this is kind of already established that this is the role of liaisons. It's established right. in policy, you know, or something like that.
Wally and I talked about this. We both kind of agreed the best process is to define basically the authority of the liaison. Because, you know, statutorily, the board has all the authority in the world, basically, and the individual commissioner has limited. So defining what your authority is and then quantifying that in a board order.
Yes.
And then moving forward, you know, when we get a new commissioner down the road, it's up front. This is the authority of the liaison.
Yeah, we've got 2 years before we get additional commissioners.
And also,
let's make sure
it works. Falling in that same order.
Poor chair too is in that role, and that is part of it. Is saying yes, as an individual, we don't necessarily have authority. However,
unless it's
granted. Case law has already established, and I'll give you an example: is Curry County Court Voices lawsuit. He was made liaison to AOC by his board. He then traveled to AOC and went over their budget for travel. They sued him for the money. And he countered that he was operating in function of that liaison role, which required him to travel for that role, and he won in court. And they said, well, there was no explicit authority given to you as that liaison role, but they said by designating him liaison, it had an inferred authority. Well, we need to define that inferred authority because we may not have authority as an individual, but when we say you are liaison, there is an inference there that there's something to do with that. So that inference is kind of what does that mean exactly? And we have signing authority. We had a contract up to $50,000 that the liaisons can sign, and there was one signed that I was curious the status. It never came before the full board, and it was like, wait, what? And it was purely within the signing authority of a contract of a liaison to do that. But it was something that impacted the whole board and didn't know, you know, so those kinds of things. I think that if we are aware of expectations and we find a way to communicate the information that we're sharing it, because none of us want to be left out of the knowledge.
And therein lies the problem with, from my perspective, is that right now, if a department head has an idea, they bring it to their liaison and they talk about this idea of whatever it is, but it's only half-baked, that commissioner can't turn around and discuss it with you two because it's here in front of God and everyone. And so that's where the information breaks down for me. Now the department head, with a half-baked idea, now has to go to each of us individually and see if there's, without sharing what the other commissioners think, see if there's a warmth to the idea for the whole board, and without, you know, creating a decision, and then whether to mature the idea and bring it to the full board. I think the office manager can stop that triple touch if that department head was able to go to them with a half-baked idea and they were able to turn around. And so I see the liaison relationship changing because of that. And so I don't know how much we have, and I see what you're saying about the liability because I didn't think about that, and the inferred permission. But I see it has a chance of fixing itself for part of the time with the new office manager, because you're not going, I'm not going to bring this up in the meeting because the paper will get in front of us and we'll have to play defense.
No sense of torpedoing your idea before.
So some other counties, it's only been in the last 8.5 years that we've done liaisons the way we do it. It was since Simon came to the county. It wasn't before Simon. And
right. Sound about right?
I think it was Rosemary.
Rosemary? Okay.
It was about the time that there was a person that was filming all of the...
Yeah, okay.
When it stopped.
That's when we started.
Oh,
got it. Okay.
So before that, all county business was done before all commissioners. And other counties do it that way. Or some have liaison roles. It could be that we also try to reach out to other counties and say, how do you function with liaison? What's the role they do? But several, everything comes before the full board, and then after the board hears it, then they say, okay, work out the details with your liaison, or we make a motion that liaison can sign on behalf of, or something like that. There's different functions we can do, but I think We can spend a lot of time talking about the, all the possibilities in the house.
Right, but we got to fix it because we realize it has too many
And we're getting
mistakes attached in miscommunications.
Yeah, you're right on that one.
Yep.
The misinformation, the mistakes, and then the quarterly reports are the only time some of us are hearing about some departments every 3 months. And like,
sure.
So Tuesday, I'm going to miss two of them that I want to hear. And Thursday, I'm going to miss something I want to hear.
We'll record them for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll listen. But it is one of those things that if we were getting that information along the way, do we need to wait until quarterly? And could we free up department head time from giving those quarterly reports if those information as business comes up is presented differently?
Right, and start going out in weekly reports.
Yeah.
Then the information is going to increase.
What do you got going on this week? And then we're managing. Mm-hmm. What do you got going on this week? What does the board need to know this week? Yeah.
Something you said reminded me of another way that it used to be, because invariably we try a lot of different things in the county. You know? So at one point, instead of having your admin meetings on Thursday that you have where you have your department heads come in and discuss whatever with you or say this is what we want to put on next week's business session agenda, and they've got the cover sheet done. There was maybe a 4 or 5 year period of time when all of that was done literally through legal counsel. And so legal counsel was directly responsible for your agenda. I'm not suggesting this happen again in any way or shape, but what I'm thinking is that the office manager person, that would be a role that you might think about, because it was what it did was free up your department heads. There was a much more stringent requirement for a cover sheet to come through with the documents.
Yep.
The ones that you have now are very, very basic, and then you're relying on them to speak to you about it. They were required to have a much bigger write-up so that everything was on there. They were also required to be available when legal counsel brought it to the board, you needed to ask a question, and they were available by phone. But usually they had so much in that document that very seldom did the board ever have to call them.
Yeah.
They were then expected, of course, to be at business session to present the item and all of that. But like I said, I'm not suggesting...
So legal used to present all items that came to the board?
Yes, but that was because the board staff... At that time, the board had gone through staff like literally 1 month, and then they were gone. And so we had no continuity, and so there had to be a way to keep that. And then through the years, when budgets were, when there was really no money, and they started to cut all the departments because we simply had to find funding somewhere, we lost staff, and at that point, the legal counsel at the time said, well, we can't continue doing that because we just simply don't have staff to do that.
Our office is, I think, the most appropriate place for that. But,
oh, yeah.
But, I mean, okay, so agenda at City was three things can get it on the agenda. Staff through the manager. The council president could put something there, so three commissioners or three counselors could ask for something, and the mayor could put something on. And here, when I first came, I was told the chair drives the agenda.
Right.
And so it's kind of one of those things. That's something else I think we can ask other counties. How is your, so Klamath.
Who's creating the agenda and who can change it?
So in Klamath, things all go through the chair, but a commissioner can add. But it's kind of one of those things that staff doesn't get to just put things on the agenda unless it went through the board to say, yes, you can get it there, either through the chair or your commissioner.
Right.
And I'm not wanting to add a layer of bureaucracy, but I think there should be, I think that is
a
something.
A clearer policy.
Correct. And especially with how some things have played out in the last couple of weeks shows that there's a conflict there.
There is. And the charter's doesn't speak to it.
And it can't to administrative function, honestly. That's what case law has said, that our charter is invalid in identifying how we do administrative function. That's why we're not getting paid $30,000 a year, because that's part of that as well.
It's a legislative document. You have to have administrative functions and a legislative document.
Correct.
Right, so that's to be defined by each individual board?
Well, and when
unless we set a policy going forward.
2 years ago, when Simon was chair, I was told he's liaison to our department. So he's the supervisor of the staff, or not the staff, but the liaison to the staff, and he drives the agenda.
Right.
Last year, Dan was chair, and we had a circumstance where there was a conflict, where I had an opinion about a meeting, he had an opinion, and Simon was going to be gone, and I was told, Ty goes to chair. And so it was kind of one of those things. I said, what is the function of the agenda and chair? And, you know, different, you know, as far as it was as well, the chair. So the liaison list used to say reports the full board, but chair is liaison. So they have a point of person to go for ISF for budget and different stuff like that kind of stuff. Well, that's also changed. So I think it's a lot of that stuff. Needs clarity.
It does. And I think we could either decide that the chair runs the agenda, that the new office manager runs the agenda, or any commissioner can change or have input on the agenda. And I'm not sure which one has the most pros. But to me, it seems like office manager would be the one we could suggest, hey, can you fit this on there? And they say, nope. Can't do it because it removes us from that. But that's just my early opinion. Like I say, we're discussing it. So
well, that person in that role would be responding to our needs. What is our desires and what do we need to have? And they can see that. I see it now as we drive the agenda. They make sure it's put out there right. But we are who drive the agenda. That's our legal counsel meeting, approving something to go to weekly business session or giving direction of when do we meet back. It's our admin meeting that is just driving the weekly business session the next week.
Right.
And as far as we either approve or move or something like that, those things should be driving that.
That's your meeting. I do want to pause momentarily, though. It's very important, I think, in light of the Handy decision, especially, which had to do with scheduling, as it turns out, that we retain the practice that any commissioner who wants something on an agenda, it just goes on there.
Correct.
And there's no judgment call made by any staff person. Just a commissioner says, I want it, and it goes on the agenda, and that's where it ends.
I think another thing that came out of that was...
That's the legal...
Does that make sense?
It is. It's one of the areas of conflict, because I had asked for a special meeting, and other items got added to it, and we didn't have time for the other things.
Yep,
and since I was the one who asked for the original meeting, I felt that I should have been asked, is there time for these other things? Somebody else would like to add these other items. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen.
Yeah, so the staff member is really not supposed to be consulting other commissioners to gain a consensus outside of a public meeting.
Even for placing things on the agenda.
That's what Handy was about.
Right.
Placing something on an agenda. So, yes. Yeah, it sounds like it would be minor, but...
Well, and that's why some counties, the chair drives the agenda.
Right, well, and...
Or it's in public meeting.
So, I want to throw this on the table, then. I think that the chair runs the meetings and has signing authority of the board. And that's kind of the end of it for me. Now I might be able to be talked out of it, but
we don't have signing authority unless it's given by the board in a vote.
Well, then I only believe the first part.
It's common, you know, when a lot of these federal grants want just the top,
then
the board assigns.
One of the things that I think was important is somewhere along the line there needs to be a clearinghouse for the agenda, because I would like to see us put times on there. Like, for instance, when
estimated
time. If you're going to have to go speak at the manager's meeting, I want it to be 10 minutes. I want you to tell me how much time we got to spend, and then I'll walk out. I'm not going to get caught in it again. I promise. I'll just get up and walk out. But also, for our in respect for our departments, I've seen them sit right there for three hours. They got things to do, where you could do as they did with David Brock Smith. He was nowhere to be found in the building until they went, "You're up," and he popped up out of nowhere. But he could have sat there for 2.5 hours of Anthony complaining about getting his medicine, and that isn't what his that is the best use of his time. And I think, out of respect for our department heads, that's probably the most important thing about having one clearinghouse
for those meetings and for the agenda. That, yep. To me, that's...
Do you mean the admin
great
agenda?
Point.
Huh? You mean an admin time?
I mean, I don't care
any
what...
Any agenda.
Any of them, yeah. If, yeah. Well, that's the value that had when it was done in that...
But if you're going respect, through...
The meetings went by very fast, and...
If you're going through the office, if you're going... Everything goes through that channel, through that office manager, she can say, 9:45 to 9 to 10 o'clock, are you okay with that? Yep.
Yeah.
How long is your... How long is... That person says, how long is your presentation? 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Good, I'll give you 15 minutes, and that's when you get it. And you hit it pretty darn close. So I think that was the big problem. I think there was a lot of frustration. I've seen it out here. You know, she doesn't work anymore, but Julie used to just roll her eyes, and I don't blame her. She had better things to do than to sit here and listen to us babble on about something that doesn't have anything to do with her department.
And admittedly, of that first special meeting I asked for, three of the items added on were staff, not a BCC. And the BCC one that was asked for, when I said, can we table these items, you said, I asked for that one, said, and we talked about it for a minute. But the other ones, we tabled. The second one was another staff request, and so maybe that's different, but it was...
Yeah.
So we have some work to do there.
I think an office manager will also help streamline that.
Correct.
Yeah. And we'll have one point of contact.
There's an awful lot that's going to be cured by our first subject today, which is an office manager.
Yeah.
I could envision, I think Darren's vision is pretty much exactly how it's going to play out, which is, you know, you have an office manager to whom the staff exclusively communicate on agenda items.
Right.
Is what I'm kind of hearing here.
He or she just pushed it up on the deal and said, we're busy that day.
Yeah.
You know, how much time do you need? Well, I'll need 10 minutes.
And then so my thought about
you're the chairman.
Handy is...
You don't have to raise your hand.
Any commissioner wants something on an agenda, it just goes on. The office manager never gets in a dilemma.
Our new website will have an agenda building option that department heads can add, and it will feed and send, and we can respond. So there's some function in there.
The dashboard for the agenda.
Okay, so I guess for me, then part of this was the confusion of chair role. I mean, I think that first off, all of our liaison assignments, do we need to edit those? Do we need to see about, I mean, you didn't take on much.
I think we should visit them quarterly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't take on much because you were new coming in.
Yeah.
But do we need to look at those? And I don't need to be as possessive of my stuff. There's some stuff that goes together, but we need to be able to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Of what is a practical balance and relationships of different stuff.
And I'd like to see that on agenda of one of these Wednesday afternoon meetings.
But I do think we need to, the ISF stuff, I think they do need to check in with all the commissioners, but at some point they do need a liaison too. And that used to be the chair.
Yeah.
And so at some point I think that should be revisited as well.
Well, then I think we should have that whole conversation. And I'll get a chance to look at it also, mm-hmm. the roles that we set up. And so we can talk about it. Because, I think we should revisit that, especially when a new commissioner comes in. Mm-hmm. We should revisit that as often as needed at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because as the new one grows into the job, he can take on more and go, man, I'm fish out of water in this department. Mm-hmm. Would you please take it?
At the first of the year, I went to every one of my departments and asked them if they would still want me to be the liaison. They said yes.
Right, I didn't have that luxury.
I hear you, but
I'm not good. Okay.
Yeah. But we have a balance of a board.
Yep, and you can take it away from me, and it's fine.
Right. We just want to make sure it's working and that they're getting the attention that they deserve.
But I want my people. I like them.
Yep.
Sure,
they're doing a good job.
Part and parcel to that discussion, I suggest, is a contract signing authority, which is a huge formal role of a liaison. To the extent there's any formal role of a liaison, it is contained there. And, you know, we talked about it briefly, and I'd like to see, the discussion continue probably as part of what you're proposing, is in terms of, look, if the contract's in the budget, then the board's already approved it. And then it's just a matter of the department head signing it.
Right.
You know, and you can probably get to a point where the liaison doesn't have to have such an intimate knowledge of the contracts that are going on within that particular department. And you can spread things around accordingly, yeah.
So that was one of the concerns that Jim Goodwin brought up, that mm-hmm. before it even comes to a weekly business session, it's had 6 appointments already before something's approved. Mm-hmm. But my question back would be, in keeping with the charter and that we have to have a weekly business session,
yes.
Is there things we can streamline ahead of time, but really our business should be done at that weekly business session? So I want to be careful that we're not authorizing some stuff to go behind the scenes that the public isn't seeing that we're doing business.
That the public doesn't have input.
Balance.
Correct. So can that be part of that conversation?
Oh, yes.
That if we can streamline something ahead of time, that they don't have to meet with finance, meet with that and all these other stuff, that it's like, okay, it's ready to go. We go to a weekly business session, but that is our public accountability.
Mm-hmm. And so, our presentation.
Well, that's where the county, that's where the people get a chance to weigh in on it. We've got plenty of room on our WBSs. We've got plenty of room to do that. Record breaking, 15 minutes. That's not doing our job.
I did around 7 minutes, Walla.
That's not our job.
I've set some records.
Be more than that.
Okay.
Public input is very important, even if it's yay or nay.
All right, so is there anything else we need to visit on this? And when are we going to come back to talk about liaison rules, contract signing authority? You guys have talked about making some different recommendations there.
Moving some stuff back this way.
Yes.
Yeah,
basically.
And then the chair function. So we want to look at liaison rules, chair function. And you had a proposition of when?
I was just thinking on one of these Wednesday afternoons. But you're gone next week, so it'd be the following.
Which is spring break, yeah.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Spring break doesn't bother me.
And apparently I have an RCC meeting that Wednesday afternoon, but we can squeeze something in.
Squeeze something in, okay.
Yeah.
Yep, because we'll be around.
Or we also have a slot on Thursday afternoons that sometimes can be a general discussion. The 28th is open for me, but...
I think that works for me, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the three items.
Is there anything else? Now, you had some things you were going to follow up with.
I know Arthur isn't here, but he would, like, his number one most important thing of the two-day workshop was having the board initiate the process to start a capital project plan. We've made a number of decisions on should we... You know, should we buy this property? Should we make this expense? And we don't really have the ability to say, how does that decision tie into our strategic plan with all the other things that we need to
spend money on
for the next 5 years?
Instead of just trying to think of it at the meeting.
That was his most important thing, because in order to be fiscally responsible, that's a really good piece of data that the board needs.
It is, and it was two of the items we were talking about. Okay, so going into deciding, because I started this thinking we should do a strategic plan, and then it turned into kind of the goal setting, just maybe team building. I don't know what the right term was, because strategic plan was bigger than what we could take on.
It was kind of
an assessment plan is much smaller than a strategic plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's something that we could initiate tomorrow, frankly. I mean, we can't start tomorrow, but it's the first stages. If you tell Arthur to go, he can start working on it.
Yeah.
So do we agree to tell Arthur to go to start working on the steps to start a capital plan?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Because I think we need
one. Arthur's got his go to get that started.
Okay.
And then out of that, we also will need at some point to look at an overall strategic plan.
Yeah, so let's put the strategic plan on with the liaison roles with the chair.
And the contract signing. Well, you can bring contract signing authority to us any Tuesday.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, we won't put that on. We won't pack it.
Okay. But liaison roles, chair, and strategic plan.
And also
and we'll have other things to follow up with about when do we do an in-service day, when do we do, you know, so so I think part of this is, one, if we get this office person hired, is looking at these items and saying, what do we need to visit? Where are we on this? Let's talk about this again. Yep. Who needs to come up with that?
Are we going to target that meeting to have the office person job description first draft?
Yeah.
I think that as soon as it's ready, that it should come before us, that it should, that can happen
this week
right away.
So we're talking about what date of that 28th?
Yeah, let's look at the 28th if you guys are willing. I don't have your calendars in front of me. Let me see real quick.
March 28th
in the afternoon.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Darren's busy.
That's at 5, though.
Okay, what about 2 o'clock, which is our normal general discussion?
2 o'clock would work for me.
Okay, so we would be looking at 2 p.m. on the 28th to follow up with chair function liaison roles, strategic plan. And then separately, he's going to get to us the office manager thing, and you're going to get us the contract signing authorities.
Yes, and we'll talk about strategic planning as well.
Yeah, I said that.
They did? Okay. I was just making sure we didn't forget one, so I'll say it twice.
We want to make sure it's there.
Yep.
All right. Well, yep. I appreciate you guys being willing to hash through this stuff. And
this one a lot easier than I thought it might.
Yeah.
It was a tough discussion.
Well, yeah. it's not easy looking at self-evaluation and what mm-hmm. do we need to improve upon, but I think it's part of... We have a weird function to be a three-headed administrator.
Oh, man.
And we have to have these times set aside to talk about that function. And until that changes, that's what we have to do in our function. And I mean, for me, I still would like those weekly check-ins on the liaison roles of what's this week hold for you that we're all aware of what's coming up, you know. But.
Exactly.
All right. Is there anything else that needs to come before for the good of the order?
I was going to tell McCafferty that he's going to start on the newsletter.
I already emailed Jason.
Oh, got it. Oh, that's okay. That's right. You're telling us. Okay.
All right.
So that is already done. And we'll follow up. All right. Well, thank you, guys. And with that, we are adjourned at 3:51.
See you now.